Our scripture reading today is Mark, first chapter, verses 9 through 15, and that's found on page 990 in the Pew Bibles. In the large print, it's 1556. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up from the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Maybe see.
Today's message is entitled, "Heaven Was Torn Apart." Heaven was torn apart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of your holy, inspired word, Lord, perfect in every way, inerrant and sufficient for all things having to do with salvation. We thank you for its truth and its power to transform lives if we would only submit. We pray, God, the Holy Spirit, upon this message, on each heart here, that we be prepared to see and hear what you desire to reveal, Lord. May this not be some dull academic message or some intellectual exercise, but may it be a word that reorients us and anchors us, Lord. I pray that the passion that I felt for this the last few weeks, that you allow that to come through and that hearts would be moved. I pray that it serves you in the kingdom and that it not be of mine, Lord, but yours. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The dominant understanding of the American Protestant Church focuses on personal salvation and a life that Jesus made possible through that sacrifice that he made for us. But all I've been doing for the last 3 weeks and will continue to do today is to demonstrate that Jesus' primary mission was to inaugurate the establishment of the kingdom of God here on earth. Yes, individual and personal salvation are a significant subset of that mission. And the Lord chooses to use human and heavenly creatures as his instruments to effect the reclaiming of the nations from Satan and his minions. Becoming a Christian is not about what Jesus can do for us. Instead, becoming a Christian is about what we can do for the kingdom of God. We have been made new creations in Christ. We have been blessed by the living presence of the Holy Spirit within us. That same Spirit of God has equipped each of us with spiritual gifts for the edifying of the body of Christ. Remember the great commission that the captain of our faith pronounced just prior to his ascension. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, my study over these last several weeks has crystallized for me the connection and cohesiveness of the scriptures. My prayer is that you are joining me on this journey. Seeing this unifying thread will mobilize this body of Christ in our community. This is a is a graphical depiction of all the cross references in our Bibles. All the different varied ways verses are tied together. I think it's a thing of beauty, and it's something that I think I shared with you a few years ago, but it means even more to me now. Now, another way of thinking about our Bible is as a mosaic, right? We tend to focus on verses and small bits of Scripture. We break it up into the things, especially the stories that we like, right? Especially the lessons that we feel comfortable complying with, and we learn those, and we miss the big picture. But as you can see, and as you know, a mosaic is made up of many small broken pieces put together in a way to reveal the big picture. I couldn't help but use this particular mosaic for today's message, where the heaven is are torn apart. Now, we have on this list, we don't have time today to go through all of these, but the Old Testament references and also from Acts and Galatians, all these scriptures share a common theme. Quote, through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed, right? This is a promise. These are the promises made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the patriarchs of the faith. And Paul tells us that Jesus is that offspring that was promised. And then at the bottom we have Genesis 28 verses 10 through 14. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and the east and the north and the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. And on the New Testament side, that corresponding scripture comes from John 1:51. Jesus then added, I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. This is an amazing correlation as Jesus connects the promises to the patriarchs of the chosen people to his mission here on earth. The Gospel of John makes it clear that the kingdom of God has broken through the heavens into the earthly realm. Jesus is this promised offspring in the connection to heavenly power and purpose. I want you to think about D-Day during World War II. The landing on those Normandy beaches was not victory accomplished, but certainly it was victory established. From then on, it was just a matter of time until the Third Reich would fall. The time was at hand. When Jesus comes up from the water, he experiences three things that in Jewish tradition signify the inauguration of God's eschatological kingdom. That's just a fancy word for end times kingdom, final kingdom. The heavens were opened above him. The Spirit descended into him, and the heavenly voice spoke to him. The concurrence of these momentous events at the baptism signifies that Jesus is the more powerful one, promised in the Old Testament and the inaugurator of God's eschatological kingdom. You read in Isaiah 64, Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. This scripture conveys the power of the Messiah's coming. Isaiah 42. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. Unmistakably, this points forward to Jesus' baptism and mission. What is the Septuagint? Well, 72 Jewish scholars were commissioned to translate the Old Testament into Greek about 250 years before Christ. And what was the reason for that? Well, the primary impetus for translating the Hebrew scriptures into Greek was that the conquest of Alexander the Great made Greek, the Greek language and culture, prominent throughout most of the ancient world. So that was the language that the people understood best. So these 72 Jewish scholars translated it into what's called the Septuagint. Sometimes you might see it in print as LXX for 70. And the translation, that Septuagint, was often what was quoted by the New Testament writers. Now, this middle word you see on the screen is the Greek word used in the text, the early manuscripts. I've heard it pronounced several different ways. The root word is schizo, which may sound familiar to you from schism, right? Separating, splitting apart. And schizophrenia has the same root word, right? Schizo. It has to do with separation. Now, if you look at that Septuagint account of the parting of the Red Sea, it uses this word, schizion, all right? And this is the same word used here in Mark's text for the rending, for the splitting apart, the tearing of heaven, right? Jude tells us that Jesus, not all the manuscripts, some just say Lord, but in the early manuscripts, several of them say that Jesus was the one that led the chosen people through the Red Sea with Pharaoh chasing them, liberating them from bondage and slavery, right? And the only other time that this word is used in Mark is at Jesus' crucifixion, right? When the veil that was partitioning the Holy of Holies was torn. It uses this same word. This is no accident. God has made a way. The Lord Jesus has given us access, has led us out of slavery and bondage, has separated and connect, has bridged the separation between heaven and earth, has broken heaven open and come down to us and made that connection, has given us access to heaven. Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 5. Now John the Baptist starts quoting this at verse 3. It'll sound familiar to you. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up and every mountain brought low. The rough ground shall be made level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The Pharisees had come to John the Baptist and asked him, who are you? Are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ? Are you Elijah? Come again. And he says, no, I am just preparing a way for the one to come after me, the Lord Jesus. This first verse is the Lord standing up in the assembly of heaven and speaking to the holy beings in heaven. Comfort, comfort my people. So, what's happening here? John the Baptist is quoting the scripture. He is pointing from Jesus' baptism back into the heavenly decree by Yahweh in the great assembly, which we talked about last week. If you have not heard that message, I highly recommend you go online and see it. It's available from a couple different places. The New Testament is very clear about the active work of God's messengers, the angels. In Jesus' temptation account as given to us by Mark, we read about the angels ministering to him at the end of the very short, concise account of Mark, right? But the grammar of it indicates that the angels were ministering to Jesus all the way through. Now, in Hebrews it tells us that we should be hospitable and courteous to strangers because you never know when you may be entertaining angels, right? So this picture's from a couple years ago. It was caught on a security camera, right? The people are strong believers, and they believe that it is they captured an image of an angel. Of course, if you look in social media, some of the comments, there are some people that, oh, that's just a moth. Yeah. But I thought that that was a very powerful image to see. Every one of the temptations, these temptations that happened to Jesus in the wilderness, come to us, fellow sons and co-heirs with Jesus. The pathway of faith lies through testings, which appeal to bodily needs. In this case, it was hunger, right? Fanaticism instead of faith, and to the avoidance of that suffering, which for us too lies between conversion and the crown. Now, in Mark's account and all the other accounts, it's very clear that a very significant point is that the Holy Spirit led, sent, depending on the translation, somebody drove Jesus into the wilderness. Very intentionally brought him out into the wilderness, the desert, which was commonly thought to be the dominion of demons and Satan. And he brought Jesus out there to fast for the 40 days and to confront Satan. Now, if you want to read about more specifics, I don't have time to cover it today. It's a whole other sermon on the temptations, the Matthew 4 or Luke 4. One thing you need to know, though, is the Lord Jesus stood firm on the word of God that Satan was trying to distort. So he was able to stand firm, being ministered to by the angels, and on the word of God. 1 John 3:8. He who does what is sinful is of the devil. Wow, that's pretty harsh, huh? Because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Jesus said in Luke 11, verse 20, "But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come near you." So right after this, Jesus returns from his testing in the wilderness. He calls his disciples immediately, and then he starts casting out demons. You continue to read in Mark and the other Gospels. And part of his message, as we read today, is that the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of God is near because the Lord Jesus has established a stronghold for us that assures victory. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And through the Word, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. And it was good. From the dirt, God made Adam and breathed life into him. And from Adam's rib, the Lord created Eve. And they lived with God in the Garden of Eden. And it was very good. As there was disobedience in the heavenly realm, the heavenly beings, there was also disobedience in humankind. It got so bad that the Lord regretted having created man. And Yahweh started again with Noah and his family. But in exercising his free will, man tried to ascend to heaven by the way of the Tower of Babel. And the peoples were dispersed to the 70 nations under the governance of the sons of God. Wickedness abounded. God started again by choosing his own people, a nation of his own making. Oh, but Israel failed time and again. That's why our Old Testament is so thick. The Lord's desire was for them to reside in the promised land. But prosperity always led to their falling away. They killed the prophet sent to warn them. The nation of Israel was destroyed and dispersed. Later, the remnant was returned to Judah and Jerusalem. Eventually, the chosen people would weary Yahweh with their waywardness. For 400 years, there was silence. The Holy Spirit was hovering, but did not touch down. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons and daughters. When the exact time was right, the Savior, who had created the world, began the offensive to save his world. Jesus established a beachhead. He is the supply line that connects heaven and earth and sustains the soldiers of Christ. He has equipped us with the support of angels, with the sword of God's inspired word, with the communication channel of prayer. He has established the battle plan of the Great Commission, and feeds our faith that God's purposes on earth and for his kingdom will not be defeated. We have a message to give to the nations that the Lord who reigneth above has sent us his Son to save us and to show us that God is love and to show us that God is love. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Holy and perfect Father, we thank you that we are part of the army of God, called to serve you. Let us shake off the chains of self-centeredness. Let us welcome the toils and testing if they serve you. Lord, we look at the world and we get discouraged and wonder, how can it be so dark, and how can evil and wickedness triumph? Lord, it's our desire that you be victorious, Lord. We ask that victory come, and it come soon. I pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen.